All right, so tonight's lesson, does the law matter? Does the law matter? So if you have to remember back, 2 weeks ago we talked about the greatest commandment. We talked a little bit about the law and the different laws that there were. So do they matter or not? That's what we're talking about. Okay, go to the next slide. Before we get into that, here's they're getting it done. Yeah, maybe they're. What about? Maybe they're doing some schoolwork here. What do you think? No, nobody's been that excited about the spelling test. Yes, I made 100 on spelling test. Right? Is that what? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they were playing some Miss Pac-Man or something on there. Whatever these kids today play. I'm sure they were not doing that. So how do you know this? Have you ever heard somebody say, just do your best? Yes. You heard that? People say that still? Yes. Just do your best. Does that usually inspire you to, put in your extra effort? Or does that mean just kind of get by? That means they don't care how good you do? Just do your best. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, sometimes that just do your best thing is, sometimes that just do your best thing is kind of like, it's almost guaranteeing that you're not going to do your best, if you're just doing your best. I don't know, it's literally a question of, are you doing well enough? Sometimes in school, the goal is to just do well enough. Did I pass the test? Not that I got every question right, but did I pass? It's like that's kind of this a little bit lower of a standard than just getting them all right. But at least I did enough. Now in school, sometimes it's a little easier to figure out that I did enough. Although you might still have to ask your teachers, if you got most of your assignments, but then there's a few assignments that you sort of forgot about and your dog might have ate one or something. And then you have to wonder, did I do well enough to get through this class? Or maybe you're aiming for a B or something, because you're going to, or B or even an A. I don't know, some people get a dollar or something for doing that. I don't know if anybody does that or not, but anyway, so you wonder, was it enough? Did I do well enough to get this? Or did I well enough to get that grade? Sometimes it's hard to tell. Now with grades, it's a little bit easier because you get an actual number. It's like, oh, you made an 84 on this test. Oh, so I guess that was my best. Or I guess that was good enough maybe. Or if you got that, 90 or 95, what's an A these days? 90. That's great inflation. Wow. Okay. Well, anyway. So, all right. So how do you know that you did well enough in school? So you look at your report card the report card is kind of the standard. But there's a lot of things in life that don't really have that. Did I do well enough at this thing? Or did I treat somebody well enough? Or did I really do the right thing here? Sometimes it gets a little bit difficult to kind of figure that out. But it's all based on, what is the standard? How do I know? How do I know if I did my best? Maybe what I said was my best wasn't exactly my best. You think about those Olympic athletes. They get out there and they run their best. And then the next day they get out there and run, and they run even faster. They beat the record or something. Or maybe Michael Phelps is out there swimming or something. And, he beats the record. So did he do his best the first day? I don't know. Maybe he did. He probably thought he did. But then he could do even more. So it's I don't know. That's kind of difficult. All right. Well, anyway, couple of weeks ago we talked about the greatest commandments. Does anybody remember what the two greatest commandments are that Jesus said? What's the first one? Love God. And what was the second one?
Love your neighbors.
Those are the two commandments. Love God and love your neighbors. Jesus said if you do both of those, then it doesn't really matter. You will follow the law. You will fulfill the law. Now, some people heard that. They heard him talking about this greatest commandment thing, and they got a little bit nervous about it. They thought, oh, maybe he's saying that the law doesn't matter. Because, well, no, I don't think he was saying that. But some people were kind of like confused about it a little bit, and they thought, maybe he's throwing the law out. Now, for you might think, well, so what? Throw the laws out, you know. But if you were a Jewish person, especially back in this time, this was your whole world, is following these rules. I mean, everything that you did was based on this. Every part of your day was based on this. And so for Jesus to say, oh, well, that doesn't really matter. Not that he was saying that, but if you thought he was saying that, it would be alarming. Like maybe somebody got up and said to Americans, oh, it doesn't matter about making money. What? What are you talking about? You know, that would be distressing to Americans to hear something like that. Don't work too hard. You know, it's like, no. So this was something that was like, it was distressing to them. All right. So anyway, so they asked him about it, and here's what Jesus said. I got to find, this is in Matthew chapter 5. Right after that, we sing that little song, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read those verses too in a minute. But this is starting with 17. Here's what Jesus said. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. What does it mean to abolish something? That's kind of a big word. Close. Get rid of. So like when they abolished slavery, that means they got rid of it. So he says, I didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. That iota and the dot are like the tiny little writing things that they did. Sort of like the dot on a small I, you know, that little dot there. Everybody dot your I's and your J's. So Jesus said, not even one of those little dots will go unfulfilled in the law. So he said, yes, we're going to fulfill the law. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So now at this point, the Pharisees were thinking, oh, that's right, Jesus. Tell them about how they have to follow all the laws. Because that's what they were about. And then he says this, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What? The Pharisees didn't like to hear that. They said, well, we're the most righteous people out here. We're the best people at following the rules. Why, we made them up, half of them. And so, of course, we follow the rules. And Jesus says, your righteousness has to be even better than them, or you're not even close to the kingdom of heaven. Wow. But he said, first of all right, we'll go to number one there. Number one, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. So Jesus fulfills the law. That means he does the law. And we know from our questions, did Jesus ever sin? Nope, he was holy, blameless, and undefiled, right? That means he lived his whole life following the rules, following the law, doing what his parents told him to do, and doing what the Bible says. That's what he did. And he did it perfectly. He kept the law, and he exceeded the law. He even did some nice things for people that maybe weren't even in there, just because that's the kind of person he was. He was a perfect and holy person. And so he attained perfect obedience to the Father. Anybody in here got perfect obedience going on at your house? Think I got some perfect obedience going on at work? Yeah, we're a little bit short of that, aren't we? Unfortunately, yes. But not Jesus. Jesus was perfect. Miranda. Following some laws in here? That's right. Jesus had perfect obedience. And he also fulfilled the law through his death and resurrection. Because the law was also, it was sort of like the culmination of the law, the final part of the law. It was the final keeping of the law. Because all of those laws we're talking about, a lot of those were talking about sacrifices and this and that and being in a community with God and being able to have God bless you. And while Jesus became the perfect sacrificial lamb, just like in the Old Testament. And just like all the law and the prophets were talking about. And so he became himself the fulfillment of the law, keeping the law and also giving himself as a sacrifice. And so that's how we can be justified. Remember justification? Regarding God regarding us as if we had not sinned. Even though we totally have a lot. But we can do that because Jesus hasn't sinned. So he can offer us justification through Christ. So we can have regeneration. What's that? Remember that? We've talked about that too, right?
Wasn't that like a changed heart?
Yes, a changed heart. That's right. It's actually, literally, it means to be made alive again. Or sometimes Jesus says to be born again. But it's sort of the idea of being made alive. That's how bad sin is it just sort of coats you in death and makes you like a dead person. And so Jesus, through his sacrifice, can make us into living people and creating us anew and giving us a new identity. We're not just, you know, Joe Sinner. Now we have some connection to Christ. Now we're a child of God. We have this whole new identity. And we find out that we are actually free from the law in some sense. Now, so that means, okay, so that sounds a lot like the law has been abolished then, right? So here's where it gets a little bit tricky. All right, go to the next slide there. So number two, Jesus calls us to kingdom living. There's a guy there, he's giving somebody a drink that is trying to be helpful, trying to be good. Kingdom living, that's kind of a weird kind of thing. You could also say, you could have used the word righteousness. We use the word righteousness, God's goodness. That's how God wants us to live. He wants us to treat each other. That's how he wants us to treat other people. Remember, we're loving God, loving other people. That is righteousness. That's kingdom living. Now, this goes a lot beyond just rule keeping. You see there, I got the list. So a lot of people have this idea that, well, okay, so I know the Bible's got a lot of rules in it. So, and the Pharisees are pretty good about this. They said, so all we got to do is make a list of all the rules, put a little check mark by each one of them, and we've got it, right? The problem is you can maybe put a little check mark by some of those things, but you can miss the point of the whole law. Like they were giving away some of their money that they were supposed to use to take care of their family and things like that. Or there were some different things that they were doing that it was kind of missing the whole point of it. They were really not really taking care of people. They were really not loving people. So they could keep this list, but they weren't really loving people. And if you're keeping the list but you're not loving people, you're not fulfilling the law. That's not what Jesus did. If we make a list, then we can say, oh, I did the list, therefore I am a righteous person. Therefore I'm a good person. And, oh, look at those people. They only got three things of the list. I did all five. So I'm better than them. And it makes you self-righteous. Not righteous the way God sees you, but righteous in your own eyes. That's not really the same thing, is it? So you're like your standard is a little bit lower when you're just making a list. And it makes you very proud. Oh boy, I sure am good. And really that is not the point of what our lives are supposed to be. So And then we say, oh, look, I've done more than these other people, so surely I've been good enough. But really, what's the truth? Is anybody good enough for God? No, we say, no, nobody's good enough for God, so you've never done enough. And that's in that case. But that's not really the point. You don't have to do enough for God because Jesus did enough for God. And so he gives you his righteousness. And so what Jesus wants from us is something much, much, much better than this list. Jesus gives us a new and living way is what is in one part of the Bible. Something much greater, a different way of life. All right, go to the third one. This is the last one. So now life is about embracing God's kingdom. You can see those little hands are spelling out there. I thought that was kind of a good picture. Yeah. And people are very, very confused about this. They think life is about, well, life is about doing whatever you want or whatever. A lot of people think that. But people who are spiritually minded think, okay, well, life is about earning God's love, earning God's esteem, earning God's favor. And really, no, that's not something we can even do. You can't be good enough for God. And so earning God's love doesn't work like that. Really, you're not supposed to earn people's love, are you? That doesn't even sound right, does it? Do you earn your parents' love?
No.
Some of you for sure not. No, no, it's like, that's not how it works, is it? They love you no matter what. That's what love is. But you don't have to earn that love. And that's the way it is with God. God gives you love. You don't have to earn anything. But what you have to do, God wants you to embrace it. To accept it, to embrace this this way of life, this kingdom. So now, does the law matter? Well, he said we're free from the law, so that we can just do whatever we want. Is that the way? Is that the kingdom way? You think? No, the law is from God. The law is really important. Our lifestyle matters. What we do in our life matters, and so not to earn God's favor. But because we're followers of Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, and because if you're a part of God's kingdom, then it makes sense to obey his laws. If God is your king and he said do such and such, well, we ought to want to do it. We ought to love to do it. If you follow Christ, you want to surpass the law and do even better than what the law says. So like when the law says thou shalt not kill, Jesus said, actually, don't even hate your brother. Don't even start hating somebody. That's what happens before you kill them. You have to hate somebody before you kill them, unless it's an accident or something. But he said, don't even do that. The law doesn't say anything about not hating somebody, but Jesus said that's the way of the kingdom, is to not hate anybody. So if you're not hating somebody, you're certainly not going to kill them. So that's kind of how that works a little bit. You're supposed to be surpassing the law. You'll want to love. Remember we said loving God, loving other people? That's the whole law right there. And you'll want to do that. And living God's way is the best way. So living this kingdom way is actually real life. It is actually the way that we were created to live. God created us to live a certain way and to treat people a certain way. This is how good society is supposed to be. People treating each other with respect and dignity and taking care of each other. Those sound like good things, don't they? That's because they are. That's exactly what God wants us to do. And so he wants us to live that way. And so it's not really about earning God's favor and trying to check off some list. It's about leaning into this love and this kingdom vision that he has for us. This is what he wants. And this is what he wants for us forever with him. All right, I'll leave you with this. What about if tomorrow morning you got up and you found out that actually your family, turns out, is related to some kings and queens like over in some Europe somewhere or something, like really closely related, so where you're probably going to move over there and live in the palace. Wow, that'd be pretty exciting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Would that change anything about like how you might like think about yourself, or if you thought, oh, well, I'm actually Royalty. Ha, who knew? Right, I mean, that would be pretty shocking, wouldn't it? That would be pretty amazing. It's like there would be a lot of things that suddenly wouldn't really matter anymore. All right, us, what then?
I don't want to.
Well, maybe you didn't have to move. I don't know. Maybe that's a bad example. But, or I think about like, I don't know, it's like I think about, well, never mind, I'm not going to get into that. So the point is that actually if you're a child of God, you are royalty. You are royalty. So it's like all these petty things that we spend a lot of time fussing about don't really matter so much because you're not going to lose out. You have the riches of Christ. You have the kingdom of God. And so, you know, we don't need to be fussing with each other about this and that toy or this and that thing, that cookie or whatever. It's like we are rich. We can afford to give to other people. Maybe not with money right away, but with, you know, ourselves. This is what I'm going to, this last verse I'm going to read. This is the song we sang earlier. This is Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. This is what Jesus said right before this. He said, "You are the salt, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." Remember that song? "Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So we're supposed to be lights shining for other people to see, so that they can know more about this kingdom that God is putting together and that Christ has ushered in with his death and resurrection. And so if you become a part of that kingdom, you are royalty. We should start acting like it. And we should, have that kind of confidence and know that we can afford to take care of people. And we should care about what God cares about. And so the law matters, but mainly it's about loving and it's about embracing God's kingdom. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had. Thank you for the good attention. And we pray that you'd help us to understand these things and to live in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.